Lovely side hugging.
I wonder who invented that.
The side hug?
Who's the first side
Jesus.
Hug?
Jesus. Jesus snuggled whoever, with 12 dudes that, every single
is,
night.
Whoever is painted the Last Supper, because they got to kind of bro up around the table.
Yeah, there is a man laying on his lap in that painting.
Mm-hmm. See, man, Jesus was a theater kid. I keep trying to tell people.
Jesus was a abrasive front hugger. Without question.
Man, I bet in the ancient world, there was some brutally awkward hugging.
The sneak from behind.
Well, nobody wore pants, so there's that.
Everybody smelled. Unless you had the good myrrh, I suppose.
Everybody's real horned up, because you got like 50 years to make it happen.
Myrrh even sounds like, that just even sounds like a party drug. Myrrh!
I'm on that myrrh. I'm going off,
I'm gone off that myrrh.
Going off that frankincense.
Myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh were the original Migos.
There's one of them that's for it. Dead people. Is that myrrh? I can never remember which one.
I think.
Myrrh is an anointing oil, so probably that, yeah.
Yeah. Frankincense.
Frankincense is the stuff that smells like church candles.
Yeah.
Which I personally love.
That's why they put incense in it. I get it.
Got dollars. Keep your frankincense.
It's sincere incense.
But man, like a lot of awkward hugging. Like Moses probably, actually, you know who gave awkward hugs? Horny ass David. That's who gave some awkward hugs.
Bro, stay the fuck
Nobody
away from
wants
David.
To hug Paul.
Stay the fuck away from David.
Yeah.
Moses, I could see as the inventor of the side hugger. That dude loves rules. God was like, all right, I got one rule for you. Moses is like, got it, 613 rules.
Also, I can see Moses as like he's got a lot of people to hug whilst shepherding. So it's like, keep it moving.
Literally.
Like, you can kind of do a swim motion with it. Like, hug, keep it moving, hug, keep it moving.
He does the elbow tap thing.
Elbow tap. Yeah, like Father of a Nation. Here we go. Got to keep it going. Keep it going.
Just Moses bash brothering all the Jews wandering through the desert.
I love you, Moses.
That's true.
Moses
Listen.
And Aaron, the original Bash Bros.
Aaron is definitely
broke the tap.
Aaron is absolutely the Jose in that pairing. Aaron's going to do some Mark shit.
This makes Moses Mark McGuire. Yes. Now let's get into this.
Yes,
without question. Broke the tablets. That's how you know he was on PEDs. Mm.
There's that. Literally bashed.
He also wore robes.
They were literally brothers who bashed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man. I feel like we really unlocked something.
And they wrapped around about each other's butts.
Yeah, 100%. Also, you know, it was a Paul. You know, it was a side hugger. It was Paul. Paul just like that's as close as he got to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, ew.
So, but I mean, Paul is just desperate for front hugs, though. Desperate. It just bleeds through the
page. But only side hugs. That's the duality.
Well, only
of Paul.
Side hugs will happen. But he's going to apologize about not front hugging and about how bad he wants to front hug, making the side hug itself weird.
Yeah. Or you could be Ezekiel, who's out there front hugging like ghost soldiers and demons.
Ezekiel literally side hugged the ground. That man laid on his side for a year. Most committed
Ezekiel
side
rules,
hugger in history.
He's about, listen, you talk a game. He's about
that
it.
That man went out there and dropped the Randy Savage elbow on the ground and stayed put. Now, that's
no, you hang up. No, you hang up.
That's the book of Ezekiel. They didn't get it. I'm going to flip over and stay put again.
To the Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. Joining me for this Thanksgiving week edition, which is just same show, or it's just happening in Thanksgiving week. Jason Kirk,
hi.
Holly Anderson, Michael Server on the ones and twos. Ryan Nanny up. I'm reading you in the order that they appear on my screen. So that's why you got top billing.
So you're the producer now, Ryan.
I am. Yeah, you're the producer, Ryan. Congratulations
again.
This is gonna go great.
If we're rotating, that means I'm Spencer and I get to say this episode is brought to you by Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill.
Well done.
Hey, are we done making movies about humans and animals?
No,
never.
But we don't make them anymore.
Humans and animals.
Draft Day would like a word.
Yeah, please.
Like
what else
we used to have. So this is, I was listening to the latest Hand in the Dirt. And Free Willy comes up, I think, in a conversation about Lori Petty. It's a very normal college football podcast about gardening. And it occurred to me, like, we used to make lots of movies about animals. And sometimes their relationship with humans and sometimes just, you know, love them.
The Super Mario Brothers movie was second in 23 in worldwide gross. So.
All right. Let me slightly.
I think Ken is Barbie's animal.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
The relationship.
Spider-Man. Jesus,
actual
Ryan.
Animals and actual people.
Ant-Man.
That's a real raccoon in Guardians of the
Galaxy. Transformers Rise of the Beast. Did no one see the Meg 2 but me?
Yeah.
I think that's true, actually.
That's like no fear, Free Willy.
Free Killy.
Meg 2. Okay, listen, this is where here's the situation. The Meg 2 is actually pretty good. Hmm. No one was more surprised than me.
For my own clarification, do you mean No Fear Free Willy or Cape Fear Free Willy? Because I can see both of them working just in very different directions.
Now I want somebody to make Cape Fear Free Willy.
Okay.
None of the Baldwins are busy.
I just want to see the whale do dips.
Alec Baldwin is busy, just not with work.
I'm going to Free Willy.
Five Nights at Freddy's is about animals.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Paw Patrol. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Blue Beetle. Sorry, this is just 2023 box office, baby.
Oppenheimer would have been better if Oppenheimer had been played not by Cillian Murphy.
If Oppenheimer had a talking dog.
Or if he was, if it was a dog, right? Like, if it was played by, like...
Air Bud?
Yeah, Air Bud.
Oh.
I was thinking Wishbone, right?
I just become Frisbee.
Just imagine a Wishbone, but in the little hat, right? Looking at the screen, his mouth not moving, and the voiceover going, you know,
if
I have become death.
If was a cat, it would have gone exactly the same, but without any of the moral conflict.
Wishbone hauled before a Senate subcommittee.
Yeah, exactly. Wishbone, you've lost your security clearance.
Hey, Robert Downey Jr. is like, I survived too little just, for this shit. He's
exactly.
So much angrier.
Robert Downey Jr. just trying to have to act serious across from this
fucking
dog.
No, he wanted to make Dr. Doolittle. He wanted that so badly, yeah. And it ended with that dragon's butthole scene.
Yeah,
I think
so. He would have been
so
down for
like
this
the Senate
saying.
Subcommittee stuff. We just bring in the actress who played Cosmo the dog in Guardians 3 and is terrified of being called a bad dog. That'd be a good fit.
I don't think Spencer knows about this because I saw Guardians 3 without you, and I've been meaning to tell you about this for a long time. Not only does the dog who plays Cosmo in Guardians 3 look exactly like Betty, she wreaks absolute holy hell around the third act of the movie because she is called a bad dog at one point.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is Cosmo the
dog.
It's
just like real life.
Who is canonically the dog that was shot into space by the Russians and gained psychic powers and whatever.
Sentience? Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
If I were like and I gained powers, I would come back and kill so many Russians.
Yeah.
Just Russians?
I feel like Laika would have beef with them first, no?
Laika's back.
Laika's back and she's pissed.
Again, I don't know if dogs have any sense of national borders or loyalty.
They didn't.
Well, no, I'm not saying that she would attack them for being Russian. I'm saying she would attack them because they're the ones that locked her in the spaceship.
They didn't have an escape plan for her. She's not giving them one either.
Yeah. Now we're on her escape pod.
How do you like her now?
In
how
space.
Do
you? Wait, I got it. In space, no one can hear you howl.
That's it. Just screaming. Actually, I like the plot line where she's outraged that communism failed, and she's like, "I'm going to take it out on these capitalist running
here
dogs."
Comes the...
I didn't die in a box for nothing.
It's Tanky Dog from space.
Laika's not dead. She's frozen.
That's why she's coming back. She's with a gun.
Unfrozen Tanky Dog from space.
No!
Did I ever tell y'all about the Christmas that Marley and Me came out, and there was this giant billboard plastered up all up and down, like, I think the CNN building on Sunset Boulevard. Hey, speaking of which, there was this giant, like, building wrap ad for Marley and Me, and it was surrounded by, like, bus stop ads and billboards. They were going all out for this, and some hero went with black spray paint all up and down the bus stop ads, like in the middle of like the biggest traffic section of Hollywood, and wrote "The dog dies" on every poster.
It's fucked up.
And I appreciate that as a public service act.
That's why we don't make heartwarming human animal movies anymore. It's Marley.
It wasn't heartwarming. The dog dies.
Right, but it was presented as heartwarming.
Fuck you, Mitch.
It was presented as packaged as a heartwarming movie that's not.
I think the last straw was a dog's purpose. That dog dies like 9 times in the movie. You're subjected to 9 to 10 dog deaths within one film.
What?
Really?
The dog reincarnates or what?
Yeah, like the dog lives many lives as different dogs, but like each dog he lives as has a moment of death. What? And almost no. all of them are heartbreaking. Like, some more than others, but all of them heartbreaking in their own way.
Dog's Purpose, Death Rank.
Here are the first two sentences of the plot on Wikipedia. In the 1950s, a feral puppy wonders about life's true purpose. weeks later, he is caught by dog catchers, whisked away to the pound, and euthanized.
What the?
Yep.
Since when
is that? Oh, wait, so this is like Live, Dog, Repeat.
Live, Dog, Repeat?
With Tom Choose.
This is like one of those, you're making it sound like they could make one of those YouTube videos. It's like every death in John Wick, right? Number 54.
sickest
this
deaths.
Is where they really,
hold up, let me see.
This is where they really did Edge of Tomorrow a disservice. Like, they needed to market it as they were trying, and I get that they thought that, like, oh, you're living through a video game, that it was cool, but you can't really say that without giving away the plot. But if they had only marketed it as Tom Cruise dying over and over and over again, I really think we could have had a different story there.
He really died for the movie, repeatedly.
Oh, it's so good.
He did everything. He faced the aliens and saved us.
It's so satisfying.
At the very least, I would like us to bring back, like, ape-human movies, like Ed or Every Which Way But Loose, like... Dunstan Checks In. We used to love hijinks.
Congo.
About, like, what if ape do human thing?
Wore necktie. What if necktie?
Yeah, what if ape wore necktie? What if good? Ape your boss? Like, we're going to reboot, we're going to do a Frasier sequel, but we're not going to do What If Ape Your Boss?
Mm-hmm. No, I see what you've got a good point.
But then,
I want.
But then the fucking NFT space has totally ruined ape reputation. Yeah. So,
we're gonna
if I want an ape movie.
So we need to launder the reputation of the apes.
No, so I want something like No Hard Feelings, but instead of hiring an attractive lady to show you how to adult, you hire that gorilla to show you how to ball. That's it. Like, the gorilla's like, listen, our kid has no swag. You, gorilla.
I thought you meant play basketball. I thought you meant a movie.
I really did too, actually.
Like a Coach Carter style movie, but it's an orangutan inspiring a team of ne'er-do-wells. Mm-hmm. Spencer, can you give me kind of like a smooth, jazzy podcast business, please?
Podcast business. What's that business? Podcast business. Uh-huh. We got shit to sell, and you're gonna buy it because we made it and it's good and we're gonna talk about it. That's the podcast business.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jason, it's your turn.
I wish you could see the hand motion. Oh, God.
Hey, y'all. I made something. I spent somewhere between years or decades working on it, depending on how you evaluate those things. It is a novel, and at the time of you hearing this, it is available for pre-order. Published will be February 12th, 2024. The title, which I have not revealed to anyone other than the people who happen to find it online, is Hell is a World Without You. I'll just tell you this, all right? If you like things I have made and been a part of, then you will like it. If you like full cast humor, it has that for better and worse. I guarantee it's going to make you laugh. I promise it's funny. If someone were to tell me it's not funny, I would tell them you're wrong. I've heard tell of it making people cry. We're not going to guarantee that, but we'll take it. It will absolutely teach you things. It will absolutely make you think. If you grew up like me, you will still learn things. If you did not grow up like me, you will learn a fuckload. It has 99 F words in it, okay? Just because it's about religion stuff, I promise it still has F words in it. But yeah.
Ooh. Did you cap it at 99?
No, I didn't. I hit Control F and it was 99, and I was like, do we add one more? I don't know. Do I push it one more, or is 99 the perfect number? But yeah, it. I'm extremely excited to get this thing out there. It is available shutdownfullbooks.com, the website that I have been pushing people toward for a while. There you can order copies that will be fulfilled by Emily and I. It is also up for ebook, paperback at paperback at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Bookshop, Books a Million, etc., with more of those on the way. We also have a signed hardcover edition up at Shutdown Full Books where we'll throw in like a sticker and a bonus ebook and things of that nature. And you can pay whatever you want at that site. Now, when I reference money, there is a large portion here. And it is a thing that feels very relevant to the full cast. For a few years now, during the annual Charity Bowl, overseen by Holly and Spencer, I have noticed a university moving up the rankings each year, Protect Trans Kids University. So for the launch of my novel, I want to treat all of us as alma maters of that university, because 100% of pre-order proceeds will be going to the Trevor Project. I'm already in the hole, Marty in the red, and I will stay there. And I'm happy about that, because every single cent in February will be going toward the self-harm prevention charity focused on LGBTQ youth with a 4 out of 4 stars rating on Charity Navigator. And yeah, those are the basics. The book is good. It's worth your while, regardless of whether the money is going to a good place. And the money is going to a good place, regardless of whether you like the book or not. So you can't lose here, folks.
Are we teasing the other thing? Beyond saying the other
There's
thing.
More. And we'll announce.
There will be more.
There's more, and we will announce that.
Don't start ignoring podcast business now. We have developments.
There is more. We'll say.
That makes it sound like we've grown breasts.
Something long-awaited. Well, our long-awaited breasts.
Pubescence.
Yes, we're finally hitting puberty. Thank you.
Hooray.
Hooray.
I didn't make it weird.
So, and I have on record each of my co-hosts is saying this book is good. They can't take it back because I've already written those words down. And lots of other people have said it as well. So,
got them.
And we were not paid for those words. I sent a Venmo request and it was rejected.
Yeah, I'm a minister of the Lord. We very very tight margins here.
You guys have to know how good this book. You guys know how good this book is. We all wrote sincere praise of it. Do you know how hard that was for all of us? And we had to because it's that good.
Also, the book is so fucking sincere.
None of us could look at each other for weeks afterwards.
Like, when I talk about the book, I think people are going to be like, oh, it's all jokes and shit. And it's like, yeah, there's a shitload of jokes. And there's a shitload of sincerity.
I think when I wrote to Jason after I finished it, I was like, I don't know how to tell you how I felt about this book, because that would mean exchanging sincere emotions with you, and we don't do that.
I only do that via book. If I have an emotion, I begin writing a Google Doc, and then once it's complete, I have concluded that effort.
I am done.
They're purged. They're purged. They're safe. No longer.
Emotions are for Diablo.
There's so much Diablo in this book as well. I should mention there's a theological development based around Diablo 2 and 2000s emo, and all of it is religious. How about that?
I will say, it was very interesting reading this book and realizing that my my culture gap with it is that I've never played Diablo. That was the thing where I was like, I get this. I'm not lost, but I'm like, oh, this is the thing that I am personally missing out on.
Diablo helped fill in the gaps for me that were missing, because like, I grew up evangelical adjacent, but not totally in it. There really is something for everyone to latch onto.
Yeah, I will say this too. I really enjoyed reading Jason's book because there were so many things where I was like, really? Oh my God. Shit, I did not know. I learned such a tremendous amount of shit reading this book from a world that like I had was right next door and never experienced.
Yeah.
He's talking about Kentucky.
That is correct. Oh, a cave of wonders. A literal cave of wonders, Kentucky. The cave of wonders with a cave of wonders is Kentucky.
Shut down full books.
Shut down full books.
Yeah. Shut down full books and elsewhere.
And this is not the last big announcement to come at Shut Down Full Books.
I will never feel that the time to stop talking about this book has arrived, so y'all will need to just jump to a different topic at some point. Just cut me off.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days. There's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right. Even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
All right, then I can ask this question, and you can help me with this question, because this past weekend I did watch a lot of football on Saturday as much as I could. My day on Saturday was real long because at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock Pacific time, I had to go clock in at my other gig, which was covering a Formula One race that didn't happen until 1:30 Eastern time. That's when it started. So I missed a couple of things along the way and in watching other games. One of those was this. If I am to believe everything that I see here on this box score, it says that Auburn scored 10 points and New Mexico State scored 31.
In the same football game.
In the same football game in Auburn, Alabama, not in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Say the name of the stadium. Go ahead.
Jordan-Hare. Jordan-Hare. Live from Jordan-Hare, watched New Mexico State. Famously, like, I think, and correct me if this is too harsh, but canonically, consistently, it's like them and Kent State for like the most forlorn programs FBS.
That is
right?
Roughly correct. Yes.
Kent State by performance and New Mexico State simply by performance and situation. Like, New Mexico State is literally stranded in the middle of nowhere, and figuratively, because they're always switching conferences, getting dropped, sort of ending up in between, and yet somehow persisting. Despite all of those things, they kicked Auburn's ass. That's what I'm informed. Diego Pavia dropped a dude like a bad habit at one point. Please help.
So before this game, New Mexico State was 0-27 against SEC opponents all time. Worst, they're 0-6 against Arkansas, but they've lost to 11 different opponents in the SEC, but now just 10 because Auburn beat them. I flubbed something accidentally on After Dark where it was suggested that Terry Bowden in his initial year with Auburn, where he famously went undefeated, that he didn't have to play the mighty New Mexico State. That was a lie. Auburn did, in fact, play New Mexico State that year and beat them 55-14. Tommy Tuberville beat New Mexico State with Al Borges as his offensive coordinator.
That's Al Gorgeous Borges.
Wow. Gene Chizik. And you may remember, there's the year Auburn went 3-9 and 0-8 in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
They beat New Mexico State that year, 42-7 to be precise,
and have not beaten them since.
I believe that is correct. Yes,
didn't beat them until 1993. There was only a 19-year window in which, is that math right? Yes.
Yes, that is right.
In which Auburn could beat New Mexico State.
Yes, and it is now closed for the foreseeable future. What do you want to know, Spencer, as somebody who watched a good portion of the second half of this game?
So was New Mexico State, the first thing I want to know is, was New Mexico State pushing Auburn around at the line of scrimmage?
Yep, sure were. Like, without a problem.
Oh, that happened.
Especially on offense. Like,
goodness, did that happen.
Could run the ball with incredible ease. Did not have a lot of problems, like having to break contact in the backfield. Looked very comfortable. Went on a... Was it a 10-minute drive, Jace? Do you remember this?
Was it like a 16-play drive?
Yeah.
Something like that. There were, I think, 3 or 4 10-plus play touchdown drives for New Mexico State.
Yes.
If the teams switched uniforms, no one would have suspected anything.
Yeah. They did not have to, like, hit crazy big plays, crazy trick plays. They just sort of, like, marched up, marched down, made Auburn look very silly in basically all three
phases. Dude, I'm sorry. Let me interrupt.
Yeah.
16 plays.
Oh, he's reading ahead.
83 yards,
yes.
And 950. Not
yeah.
What?
Two fourth down conversions.
Which means they had a lot of time to think about it. Also, like this was a James Bond death.
The second fourth down conversion, I believe, was the touchdown. I think they went for two and got it, if memory serves, as well.
Yikes!
Like, they just absolutely choked the life out of Auburn.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what in the entire fuck is this? Can I say the word? I don't think I've ever said this. I think I've seen, but prior to this, I have only said this about one team ever, and it was the SMU team that in June Jones last year just decided to get fresh air and exercise, as Bill Connolly would say about Kansas. It was that June Jones team that just decided to phone it in hard. And they would kind of just show up in their uniforms and attempt football.
June Jones and Hugh kind of have a lot of vibes in common.
What's baffling about that, though, is like Auburn played very well the week before against Arkansas.
Yeah.
And this is a thing a reader tipped me off to. So Saturday was Michigan's 1,000th win all time. We already covered that on After Dark.
Well, Auburn, why did we have to cover that?
We didn't. We could have moved on, actually.
No. Oh, I was trying to set you up to explain why we.
Oh, because they swore Maryland's field as Maryland's PA operator.
Michigan
like,
has gone recidivist.
Please stop. Please respect.
Oh, Spencer, I keep forgetting you missed it. Michigan stormed Maryland's field, and Maryland's PA was yelling at them, and Michigan's fans were like, "We're crimes now."
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
But Auburn is also on the brink of a important odometer rollover.
Uh-oh.
They sit at 799 wins all time. And mm-hmm. this could have been 800, but it wasn't.
Well, they've got another shot. Ah.
Yeah. I see. Mm-hmm.
And then after that is, oh, no, you're playing fucking Minnesota or something, and that'll be stupid.
So the word I was going to use was, did Auburn quit?
No, they got beat.
I think they just got beat.
I think they just got dominated.
They did not. Listen, I watched a lot of this game because I was not having a good day, and they did not quit.
They just got whooped.
I think there is a point in the fourth quarter where the coaches sort of were like, we're not going to try to.
Well, I'm sorry. Auburn's players didn't quit.
I don't think Auburn's players quit. No.
I think like the hallmark of quitting is like, oh, we gave up a 60-yard touchdown. Fuck it. This was like, no, we had to make 12 tackles.
Yeah.
Just to prolong this touchdown.
I mean, look
drive.
At that. Look at that drive. They weren't. You know, quitting doesn't look like giving up that many short yardage plays in a row.
Quitting looks like
not
USC on purpose.
Boom. Jason had a heater streak of USC targets, and I love it so much.
Like, New Mexico State ran 20 more plays in this game. They just kept Auburn off the field, especially in the second half, to an impressive degree. And they also were doing, like, what really struck me about it was they had the lead and they didn't let them, as much as they did kill a lot of clock on that 16-play drive, it didn't feel like the primary goal of that was like, oh God, let's try to get out of this game. It was like, we're going to take advantage of the time we can soak up, but we're also trying to score. Like, going for it on that fourth and goal was the right decision tactically because it made it a 3-score game instead of a field goal would have kept it a 2-score game. But it's also like a ballsy thing to do. It's also like the aggressive choice to make. And that was consistently what they did in the second half. It's like, we're not playing to just get out of here with a close win. We're playing to just stomp your fucking ass.
Yeah. And I know that, like, this is actually, this is cool because a number of people that I follow and talk to about football are cult fans of Diego Pavia, their quarterback, who is, I think, very much like he is a Bradley Van Pelt award finalist instantly just because of his style of play. So the only highlight in anticipation of this, I had to write about it a little bit and be like, oh God, what the fuck? But in anticipation of this, I did come across the clip of Pavia throwing a dude, just throwing an Auburn defender.
Yeah, he slung him like he was a laundry bag.
Well,
yeah.
You know he's a state wrestling champ, right?
I know now.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he wrestled.
So does wrestling. Auburn.
Yeah.
New Mexico? Is that the state he's
yes,
a wrestling
correct.
Champ of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary. That's scary, man.
Yeah, because elk compete
he's wrestled
in those
coyotes
wrestling
and
competitions.
Shit.
Yeah.
Auburn got the antlers.
Is this the funniest result of the year? This is the funniest result.
Yes. 100%. Yes. Particularly with the added context that, as David Hale pointed out, the last two teams to lose by 21 as a 21-point favorite were Hugh Freeze to New Mexico State and Hugh Freeze to New Mexico State.
Yeah, this is where Jerry Kill just follows him around, beating the shit out of him. Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you,
never,
Jerry Kill.
Never been a big Jerry Kill enthusiast, but I'm a big New Mexico State enthusiast.
Oh, this running gag. I'm all in on this running gag. I'm all in on Hugh Freeze going to take out his garbage and getting hit by Jerry Kill in a pickup truck.
I'm saying I'm shifting. I'm shifting a little bit.
We like this thing about Jerry Kill.
I'm gonna say this is my silver medalist. I still think Miami lost because they refused to kneel the ball and got burned on a Hail Mary. Like,
yeah, but you expect that from Miami.
I really don't. Like that. Even that level of fuckery, I don't expect
step,
from Miami.
Step beyond.
Can we make Miami's thing like funniest running bit of the year? Because then it became like Mario's terrified to kneel, doesn't know when to kneel, like looking at the crowd. Should I? I don't know.
Yeah, like a confused Price is Right contestant.
$1. Is it $1 or $10,000?
Or not?
Is it $1 or $10,000?
See, I kind of viewed him as like staring up at the crowd, like, what'll make you happy, darling?
Yeah. What'll make you shut up?
Yeah,
I think Mario Cristobal is more on the line of Wheel of Fortune contestant gets 8 puzzles wrong in a row, right? Like that poor guy from Indiana that Desus and Mero clowned, right? Where they were like, dice spin.
I think
ballroom
like
ducks.
My three this year in no particular order would be New Mexico State Auburn, Georgia Tech Miami, and Stanford coming back to beat Colorado by just throwing it to one dude over and over. And over.
Just the spam.
I'm going to check on something.
I need to hold a space on my podium.
Are you going to look at the same thing I'm looking at,
would put Stanford in this on my podium, but I need to hold space because Tennessee has to play Vanderbilt still.
You're looking
I think you're okay there, Holly. I got to tell you.
Are you looking
I'm
going to
go.
Kelly?
I'm just going to go with every Iowa game. Thank you. Especially this upcoming one.
Oh, what a rich anthropological trove they have provided for future researchers and scholars.
With a lot of time.
What I was looking up is Alec Iomanor's stats for the rest of the season. And he did he did have a couple other big games. So it isn't as stark as I thought it was, but half of his.
Did he have any other series? Did he have any other series like that one?
No. Like,
no.
He had 294 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game. In no other game did he have more than 1 touchdown or more than 146 yards.
See, Colorado, you did make history.
So those would be my top three. I'm open to other possibilities, though. I may have overlooked something.
I don't know. I think this is about as funny for a one-off as it gets.
I think Notre Dame losing by not having enough guys for like 2 or 3 plays in a row. If it hadn't been Ohio State who benefited.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, he had more receiving yards in that lone game against Colorado than he has had since. He's had 270 yards.
And I want to be clear. We haven't gotten to South Carolina Clemson, so who knows what we haven't gotten to
Paul Bunyan.
We haven't gotten to the Egg Bowl. Like,
oh god.
Yeah, this week fucking rocks, man. We're gonna get
Does the Egg Bowl lose? I hesitate to say this. Does the Egg Bowl lose a little bit of luster with an interim coach?
I think it actually gains a little bit of luster.
This guy's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Never mind. Fair point.
I was also
fake punt on first down. Let's go.
Yeah.
As long as we're tossing out impromptu awards, can I also add the amount of times that broadcast crews have said soberly that this Pac-12 team or that Pac-12 team is having a get-right game against USC?
It's pretty choice.
So. Oh. I must add Gus Johnson on Saturday. A moment when during the Michigan broadcast, he said something about the world famous Ohio State, right? To which Joel Klatt said, "Well, I doubt our viewers like you calling them world famous," as a little joke, right?
And so
Gus said, "Well, they became world famous during the Olympics when Jesse Owens won all those medals in front of a bad, bad guy." So Gus Johnson stands on the right side of history as affirming Hitler was bad. These days, you do have to say that, but I appreciate Gus Johnson spreading that message to the masses.
Yeah, but he also kind of made him sound like 1981 Moses Malone.
That's the tricky part with Gus, because like bad sounds
like
cool.
Bad, like Hitler bad to the bone.
That makes it sound like Hitler's a hard-hitting safety.
Yeah.
He wears a leather jacket, and he steps on nails on purpose.
Yeah, like the fine line between describing Brian Dawkins and Der Fuhrer.
I'm choosing to take Gus literally.
Yeah. A very morally bad person.
A literally bad guy.
Michigan, what, you mean he played bass?
Michigan State's like, oh, now you tell us.
Sorry to our friends in East Lansing.
I just got lightheaded thinking about that.
I too have some questions, Michigan State, of some non-trivial import.
Hey, has the Michigan scandal not added? I say the Michigan scandal with all the air quotes in the world, around the world scandal. Have we not added any layers in Ann Arbor in like 3 days, or is it just me? It's too quiet.
The only thing I've seen is they asked Harbaugh if he respects Ryan Day. And he sort of like short circuited and stared at the ceiling and blinked about 100 times and just kind of like, oh, well, the thing that matters is our preparation for the game. We're going to practice and stuff.
Sincere question. Like I know whoever, and I respect whoever was doing that for trying to start shit. On what grounds should Harbaugh respect Ryan Day?
Well, that was sort of what it was leaning into. It was like, kind of a trying to way to ask, like, are you pissed? Right. Mm. And the response was
scoreboard if I'm him.
The response was not a no.
I don't like. Are there like, five active college football coaches that you're confident Jim Harbaugh respects?
Yes.
Who?
Yes.
Who? Are they alive?
Is John Harbaugh one of them?
Does Jim Harbaugh respect a live? Well, he's going to have to because he's going to be
who,
working for him next
which
year.
Which Big Ten coaches do you think Jim Harbaugh respects?
Mm. Okay.
I think he secretly looks at PJ Fleck and think this guy gets it.
That guy's weird.
Like, those two are like, you know, when you have two friends who are exactly alike and you're introducing them and you know that it's going to go one of two ways.
I think like it's the other way. I think it's the other way. And he's like, this guy's all gimmicks and bullshit.
This guy's fake weird.
Yeah, but he's a Schiano man though, and I feel like
I 100% no. Greg Schiano is 100% of those guys. He's in that category.
Yeah,
does Harbaugh perceive Loxley as like that's a guy I want on my side?
I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that because
Harbaugh wants. I mean, didn't Loxley swing on a player that one time? Harbaugh has to respect that.
I think it was an assistant coach. Yeah,
it was an assistant,
Harbaugh has. So they have that in common.
They do have that
in
common.
They have both swung on their own paid subordinates.
Yeah. We won't say who.
I think he looks at Matt Rhule and he's like,
no.
Oh, cool.
I think he looks at Matt Rhule and he's like, what's this guy? This guy's an NFL coach. What's he doing down here with us?
I really just now
realized. He doesn't feel that way about Greg Schiano.
No sense of irony about,
I haven't really thought about Greg Schiano and PJ Fleck and Jim Harbaugh all being in the same conference together. They really are typecasting.
He respects Luke Fickell for his outrageously firm handshake.
And his grooming.
But he's an Ohio State dude. Fuck that guy.
No, I'm telling you, he's like, now that he's at Wisconsin, he's just a Big Ten guy, mm-hmm. right? So in Harbaugh's mind, he's
looking at him, he's like, you're all right, you know?
Yeah, he's like, you've renounced
Also, Luke Fickell is like a Catholic with 12 kids, so he's like, oh, yeah, brother, I know that, yeah. He's like, I get it.
He's really big. He's really fucking big.
Yeah, that's it, too.
I like that. Yeah.
Big Luke.
I respect your bulk. Yeah.
I bet you like milk.
I respect you by volume.
I like all Wisconsin coaches. This is where they make my favorite drink.
If he respects coaches by volume, what does he think of Bert?
Mad respect. Mad respect. Also, Bert's a letter writer, and I'm sure that Jim is like, oh, yeah, I love to write.
Penmanship's a lost art.
Yeah.
Despite how much his own penmanship
has gotten him in trouble. I would love if it was revealed that Jim Harbaugh and Brett Bielema were pen pals.
Yes.
Yeah.
All in caps. Dear Brett!
More later, Lilas.
I think they would have an entire conversation via tapbacks if they could. You know, like if you could send...
By a T9 text.
Yeah. If you could just send emojis and tapbacks without any words attached, they 100%...
I'm poking you on Facebook!
Oh my God, imagine Jim Harbaugh's Bitmoji game.
Yeah.
This giant caterpillar says goodnight, recruit.
Yeah.
He's hungry, like I am.
General Patton says hello.
Is there a... Oh my God, there's going to be a General Patton.
Two other coaches that I know he has to respect just based on vibes alone. Dave Aranda, because I know that Harbaugh could walk up talking the most random shit in the world. He could be like, hey, do you know plants have feelings? And Dave Aranda would be like, many papers have shown this. Additionally, plants also... Yeah, like
I like how you turned Dave Aranda into some chatty, like, non-player character.
Yeah,
and he kind of is. Yeah, yeah. He's got lore to unspool and shit.
I mean, remember that Dave Aranda is the person who, to people he barely knows in a professional capacity, will say things like, "You know, doubt is a real thing in people's minds, and it's one of the great moral."
Oh yeah, you can sell your old armor to Dave Aranda; he'll buy it. There's no limit to how much he'll buy off you.
There are exactly 5 gremlins out there who need slayed. Return to me when you've only slayed 4 gremlins.
How
do you know that, Dave Aranda?
Yeah. On
count
a night
these scars.
On it's a night like this, the scouting. Fire is warm and inviting. Yeah, Dave Aranda has weird
He's
NPC
the first
energy.
Guy outside the cave in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, he is.
I take my axe.
A tree branch and a pinch will do. I know
press A to lose to West Virginia or whoever.
Do you want to turn off auto target?
The other coach that I know he has to respect is Tom Allen, just because.
Hard-ass church guy.
Yes.
Oh, you guys. He also probably it's Thanksgiving week at the Harbaugh's.
Jim Harbaugh probably looks at Tom Allen and is like, well, he's got to be 30 years older than me, so I have to respect him.
Yeah, like Jim Harbaugh and Pete Carroll, I know they don't get along, and it's because they manifest a lot of the same energies. I think
hated each other in the pros.
Yeah,
they hate each other in the pros, and in addition to that, they manifest a lot of the same energies, which is, I'm 38 years old. How old are you? I'm 37.
Do you know what? Okay, do you know what this reminds me of? There is this TikTok I saw over the weekend. It's done by a pair of women, but it is such Ryan energy. It sounds like a full cast bit that Ryan would come up with. And I just realized that's what both of these coaches are. It's a Stitch duet of a woman asking for strategies to fend off creepy men. And this second woman jumps in and she's like, I call this strategy Baby Runs for President. And it's where you approach and it's where you turn to the guy who's creeping you out. And you start asking him a series of endless questions that only a toddler would feel comfortable asking. Like, you turn to the man who's like, what's your name, sweetheart? And you're like, how old are you?
How much money do you make?
Where'd you get that hat?
Where's your tummy?
Yeah.
You got games?
Do you have a penis?
I just realized that's what we have. We have two Baby Runs for President personalities conflicting here. This rain sound effect is making me so soothed.
Thank you. Whoa, this is rough. I'm having to scoot away from it.
Uh-oh, Jason's being tribulated.
Is it time? We've kind of started this. Is it time to look at the schedule?
I believe it is time to look at...
Well, real quick, with Poseidon bearing down on me, So, real quick, before we get to our favorite weekly segment, I have our favorite monthly segment. I got Orca News as a...
I don't know what whale song sounds like. That was the best I could do.
As Poseidon bears down on at least three of us. Well, Holly, speaking of whale songs, this headline is relevant from the Huffington Post. Orcas pummel boat after crew tries to deter them with heavy metal music.
They didn't know that orcas love to thrash.
Ba 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 da ba 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 da ba. That's what orcas want.
So clicking this article, I was hoping like, okay, what songs are they playing? Because usually when you encounter the words heavy metal in general population, people are referring to like, they were playing freaking Kiss or
Oasis.
Something. Right, yeah. They were playing Joan Jett. And it's okay. Yes, Joan Jett rocks. I get it. But, you know, this article has a Spotify link to the playlist called Metal for Orcas. And I started scrolling through it and I was like, oh, hang the fuck on here. They were not kidding around with heavy metal for orcas. Let me just read you some band names, okay? If you don't know these band names, you can imagine exactly what they sound like because none of them are lies. Dying Fetus, most famous band on here. Aborted, Analepsy, Abominable, Putridity, Ingested. These are the names of the bands, and they all sound like those words. So,
it's metal against orcas, really.
Yeah, it's all shit where it's like, I recognize the skill and the craftsmanship, and I know this took a whole lot of work. I sort of get it, but it's not quite for my ears. But orcas either fucking love it or hate it. Like, either they're like, you know, either there's a circle pit going on beneath the boat to the sounds of Analepsy.
Like, turn this shit off!
Or they're a bunch of like, no, bring us the. You said heavy metal. I thought that meant that one Pat Boone album where he plays metal. That's what we want.
I think we need to go in a different direction and play just sad songs. Just be like, here's Snow Patrol, orcas.
Here, we're gonna play some Phoebe Bridgers for you.
It's a little death cab for the orcas.
Yeah,
I mentioned this earlier. Just the 59 sound on repeat by Gaslighting, nonstop.
Yeah, why aren't we in charge of this? I mean, the answer is because we don't want to repel orcas, but...
Overboard confessional.
Just sitting there listening to Transatlanticism going, it's about me, literally. Yeah.
Listening to that at the bottom of the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Here, whales, listen to David Bowie and think about how sad it is that he's gone.
The Decemberists.
And they are sad.
Yeah, listen to him. I think whales would like Gojira. That's my recommendation for our next attempt.
Yeah, whales, you know what? Deaf Heaven. I think whales and Deaf Heaven get
Everyone
along.
Everyone likes Deaf Heaven.
That's true, yeah.
Mm. Try podcasts. Sorry. Like,
yeah, that's it.
Play the shutdown full cast to annoy away all the whales.
Oh,
the
whales,
God.
The whales have been attacking more boats now.
They've been talking for 45 minutes and haven't gotten to their alleged coverage beat yet.
After listening to two episodes of the Shutdown Fullcast, whales grew legs and took to land to destroy all radio towers.
Evolved back into deer-like animals.
We have bad news for our anti-evolutionist friends.
By the way, if you are... Attention, whales. If you're listening to this, I have a list of cruise ships that are leaving Miami... the port of Miami, okay? If you aim for the rudders, okay? Don't hit them yourselves. Push another fish into
the
rudders.
They're the parts that look like fins.
Yeah. Something very funny.
Stay away from the spinny things, but you guys have the chance to do the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, you can do the funniest shit ever.
We believe in you.
We will reward you with
acclaim.
Mm-hmm.
Silence.
And acclaim.
The new Analepsy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will drop CDs into the ocean.
We'll drop nothing but the dankest death metal.
A bunch of shit from Tampa that lasted 6 months and then broke up. All for you, buddy.
Yes.
Oh, delicious.
It's Tom Brady jerseys.
Death metal Tom Brady. It really fits.
Talk about blood into wine.
Should we look at the schedule now?
It's time to look at the fucking schedule.
Looking at the schedule game.
Egg Bowl being on Thanksgiving is my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
Just my absolute, like, and not just that it's on Thanksgiving, but that it's the only game on Thanksgiving.
It's about, remembering the inescapability of wanting to beat the shit out of your family.
It's the only FBS game. Tuskegee, Alabama State. But yeah, I like that this game builds and builds. Like, you expect the primetime game to be the main event, right? So we got, like, NFL, Washington Commanders NFL, and then the Egg Bowl, the culmination of it all.
And the beauty of it being the only FBS game on Thanksgiving is that you're like Thanksgiving, you're stuck with it. Some years you're like, oh, this is great, and I'm really excited about it. Some years you're like, oh, Jesus, we got to do this. This is like I am not in the mood for Egg Bowl this year, but you got to do it.
Every year, the preseason hype, if you watch the crowd, okay, they'll be like, welcome to, I don't know, Oxford, where everyone's real excited. And they look real excited. And once the game kicks, there is an air of absolute terror, anxiety, and fear. The minute, like, if you look, that crowd is not having a good time.
Giggles, terror, anxiety, and fear.
I think that's why this is my favorite. This may be my favorite college football game. It really might. Like, consistently, year in and year out. You said, by the way, that is this diminished because there's an interim coach? We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon in coach hiring season, and Lane Kiffin is involved. There might be two interim coaches by the time we get to this game. You never know.
Yeah.
Northwestern. No, they're Michigan State next.
Yeah. I just love that at the fourth quarter, whatever happens, somebody is going to be going, oh no, in the way that you go when you watch, like, someone drop a puppy off of a dock into, like,
damn,
the river.
Steven Spielberg, the bus is going towards the baby carriage, and you don't know it's full of cans.
Oh, no! Yeah.
Babies love cans.
And much like that scene, you're like, this didn't need to be here. This was unnecessary.
This is the, yeah.
Egg Bowl does not advance the plot of the college football season. It is
one big cinema sin, this
That's
whole
right.
game.
It's like it's an intermission where all the fireworks go off at once.
It really is the like fireworks factory accident of games, because it's funny, but also something really did blow up.
And also everyone there paid a lot of money to be there, which makes it even funnier.
Yeah.
So
the Warhammer, it's the most grim dark of games. It is the Warhammer 40K.
I got a grimmer game.
Yeah.
I got a grimmer game.
Oh,
hit us.
It's time. It is fucking time. My most anticipated game of the year.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Iowa's over-under record has been set, what, five times within the past calendar year?
Did we get below 30?
Oh, we've been below 30 at least
I'm
three times.
I'm trying
games,
to
I
set
think.
Him up.
Oh.
It went Sorry. Below 30. It went below 29. This one started at 27.5. Jeez, it Lord. Is now as low as 26 even.
I see the vision.
Iowa, Nebraska. The weather in Lincoln will be 32 degrees, will feel like 23. Brother, that will also be the score. It will feel like 23, whatever it is.
What time is kickoff?
It's at noon.
It's a noon.
Okay, so it'll be dark by the third quarter. Fantastic.
I'm so excited for this shit. Nebraska needs it to get ball eligible.
Jason's year-long love affair with this Iowa team is one of my favorite things we've done.
My favorite thing.
I say this like it's a bit. It's not.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. This past week, Tory Taylor, for like his last home game or whatever, he went out and he got the Joe Burrow's last home game at LSU treatment with the camera following him in slow-mo onto the field, crowd going nuts, and it's completely merited. Like, there goes our fucking punter. That is a fucking hero. Like, you want to see some shit, man?
We got to see and nothing else. Let's fight.
You want to see not much shit, man? Tune into this.
It's also worth remembering that, like, the decision to go in a very different direction for Wisconsin football, it can't be judged in 1 year, obviously. Uh-uh. But, like, based on this first year, there have to be Wisconsin fans who are like, we have to go back. This was a terrible mistake.
We should have just doubled down.
We should have glued two fullbacks together.
The fuller back.
More Bondo. More Bondo.
Yeah, we got out of the coach predicting business with the next with the previous cycle, but yeah.
Yeah.
This has been a rough one for what seemed like a very interesting, exciting hire.
If they lose this game and miss out on a bowl game, Luke Fickell's off-season tour of, like, Wisconsin taverns and alumni events is going to be the fucking bleakest shit you can imagine.
No, Wisconsin's 6-5.
Oh, right. Wisconsin won. Yes. I'm thinking.
So, like, every game in the Big Ten this year is, this week is like 6-5 versus 5-6. Yep, no, it's all good. There's stakes in, like, every Big Ten game this week.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was getting Wisconsin and Nebraska mixed up because they just played. That's my fault.
No, it works either way.
There's stakes in every game.
Spiritually, you were right.
There's going to, you know, where there's going to be no stakes. No stake for you, Coach Fickle. Fuck.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
It's mean Big Ten guy.
Welcome to the Badgers Club.
You jerk.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm sorry. I was jumping ahead because that's the one where, yes, Wisconsin is bowl eligible. But if they lose to Minnesota, ugh.
Come all the way up to Eau Claire to tell me we fucking suck?
If they do, then Minnesota is bowl eligible.
Yes. Minnesota can get bowl eligible with a win here, which makes the illegal fair catch in the Iowa game a crucial part of their season.
That was a real fulcrum, wasn't it?
They would have. They wouldn't be one of the 37 Big Ten teams with a Tampa Bowl game if not for that moment.
Thank God. Thank
God. Go to Appleton and tell them why we don't run a fullback anymore.
Iowa, the other funny part of Iowa-Nebraska is if Iowa wins, they just casually got to 10 wins in this stupid fucking
season. This team everyone hates.
It's so great. Can we talk? We literally can't break it down because if you go on the Big 12 website, they don't even break it down. But as of today, there are, I think I read 128 possible outcomes for the Big 12 Conference Championship.
You need fucking Doctor Strange to break down.
Can we make like an Animaniac song out of them?
Like the only clear thing is
Iowa, Panama, Mexico, Canada.
If Texas wins against Texas Tech, they are in and they are the number one seed. After that, everything is like only God knows the future.
God's like, don't put that on me.
You must roll the devices around on the floor.
I'm at the lake house.
Until you begin to sense the colors and the numbers speak to you.
And I want you to think about what this is going to look like next year when the Big 12 has a net total of two more teams and doesn't have Texas, Oklahoma presumably people to like be at the top of the list, and it's just like, all right, the 800th tiebreaker for the Big 12 is coach height.
You picture them being read aloud as like a filibuster?
It's coach height, but it's not like tallest to shortest. It's like there is a random target height that no one knows.
Yes, that's right. Mm. Yes. 5'6".
Oh, it's the height that makes you the golden ratio.
Mm-hmm. All of them are 6 feet tall in their mind. All of them
coach self-report facial symmetry. Your height. Yep.
Yeah.
We're going to judge them by the shininess of their coats.
Mm-hmm. Under the radar, good game. Possibly under radar for some. It's on fucking ABC. UTSA Tulane.
Yep.
Meet.
Yep. That has conference championship game implications. The American is another weird one where, like, there's some ties that can come into play, but, like, the winner of that will definitely get in.
Yeah. Also, those of you rooting against Liberty University, which I assume is all of you, you're rooting for Tulane, okay? That's simple. Simple to root for Tulane.
Easy to remember.
By the way, somehow, I believe in one of the weirdest outcomes, Boise State, who plays Air Force and has just fired their coach, is still alive.
Yes,
for
that is correct.
A Mountain West title. Yes.
The Mountain West.
We won, but we didn't need you.
But
the Mountain West is going to be two of these four teams: UNLV, Air Force, Boise, and San Jose State, who
has made
a huge Locked charge. Up. San Jose State at one point this season was 1-5 and has ripped off 5 straight wins, and if they beat UNLV, will probably get in. That's another one where it's like there are some wrinkles there, but they have a shot.
That's superb. Way to go, Mountain West.
And then the Fox night game on Friday is Civil War.
Noticed you avoided talking about Penn State, Michigan State with the most handsome trophy in all of college football. If you'd like to see Michigan State team with no reason to play, a 3-touchdown dog on Black Friday.
What? No reason to play. I'm sorry. They're fighting for the largest katamari of things we found in an office in 1984.
Yes.
Available.
It's like if you had a nuclear accident in a Cracker Barrel.
What if you made garage sale casserole?
It's like everything you find in your inventory and
fall out. It's
a
metal hot dish.
Also, do you know where this game is being played?
It gets worse.
It's being played at Ford Field. And it's close. Like, what? The Lions are good this year. Why are you doing this?
We gave you guys your own little Caesars bowl. Don't you feel happy?
Like, if the Lions fail to miss, if the Lions collapse down the stretch and fail to miss the playoffs, it is 100% the fault of Penn State, Michigan State.
So we're going to go from, like, the Lions dominate a Thanksgiving game to Michigan State is 4-8.
Yep.
What a flip.
Yep.
There's a high school championship in between there, I think.
That's probably true.
So, you know what else is set in Detroit? That's right, the movie It Follows. I believe that the curse has been transmitted. Somebody has transmitted the curse to Michigan State.
Who had sex?
Yes. Yeah, wait a second.
Yeah. I can only point to the data. I can't explain the method of transmission. Okay.
So it's like who tackled someone. Mm. That's
yes,
how it works.
You tackled them. Yeah.
This is more
comfortable. So Michigan State has to thus pass it to someone else, which because they're not going to a bowl, it's going to be someone on Penn State. Congratulations, Penn State.
The movie is so stupid and so good.
I love it. Oh, that's one of my favorite horror movies.
It's the dumbest idea for a movie ever, and it's an awesome movie.
So well done.
So good.
Soundtrack is fucking killer.
Oh, the soundtrack whips.
Tremendous score.
Saturday. There's a somewhat large game. It's on,
Trevor, who did
it's on ABC, Kentucky Louisville. No.
I'm not sure.
That's 10-win Louisville. Say it with me. 10-win Louisville.
Bowl-eligible Kentucky, no less.
And bowl eligible Kentucky.
A feat, remember, to be clear.
Yeah.
Do we remember why Louisville's not at 11 wins and potentially much higher in the college, not potentially would be much higher in the college football playoff race? Do you
why
remember who
that?
The one is?
Miami?
The Pittsburgh Football Panthers.
And by 17 points, no less.
By 17 points, that's right.
The super weapon fired, but we didn't realize it at the time.
That's right. We had no idea.
We thought it was a test, but what if Louisville wins the ACC and misses the playoff because of Pitt? It's retroactive. Extend Narduzzi.
Oh, it's cool to be hauled around for a little bit, Louisville. Sorry.
Yeah. By the way, earlier, I just want to mention this. Real yelling rights, not bragging rights, but yelling rights between Indiana at Purdue, because if you go to the Kentucky Derby, inevitably you will see four very sad Purdue fans mocking an even sadder Indiana fan for wearing an Indiana shirt. That's what this game is for.
On ESPN, we have A&M beats LSU and Bobby Petrino interim coach. Bobby Petrino promoted to head coach, I should say.
Wait, is he for real the interim?
No.
No.
Oh, God.
They knew not to do that.
I meant to give him the full title, not the interim.
I got so excited.
Sorry.
Just a minute. No, it's okay.
I wonder if that was part of the meeting. Okay, so
he's
guys.
Canonically, he's the canonical head coach. Sorry.
Guys, we're going to have an interim. Petrino's like, well, you know.
It's,
like, shut
it's probably
up,
in his contract. Jimbo's like, if y'all fire me, don't put that asshole in charge.
So why make himself visible now?
Yeah, lay low, man.
If you want to watch again, another beating, Colorado is playing at Utah. Utah.
that's some depleted ass football right there.
Yeah,
man.
That is some collective like exhaustion.
Hey, listen, this could be a get right game for Utah.
I don't think Utah has any get right left.
Or Utah's walk-ons or whoever is left uninjured.
Yeah, Utah has done a fine job of fighting through a tricky season, but
like,
I don't think
this is
going to be fun.
Yeah, this is the rare 7-4 team with a ranking where I'm like, yeah, man, let them keep that ranking.
Yep,
that's fine.
100%.
The CW game. Wake Forest against Syracuse. Syracuse going for bowl eligibility after parting ways with Dino Babers after 8 years, I believe.
Did we see who the interim coach is?
It is none other than designated full-time interim on call for a university near New York, Nunzio Campanile.
Campanile! French fella.
Layla!
Or as we call him, Nooch. It's my friend, the Nooch.
Nooch Camp.
Nunzi!
Well, welcome back, sir.
Another team that is fighting for something with real stakes without the coach who they fired. This is one of my favorite things, which is, yay team! Boo that fucker! He's we don't need him.
I mean... The Syracuse collapse this season was fucking astounding.
Like, was it? Very, how does it compare to it? Previous September Syracuses?
It's a good. You know what? Let me look at that. And I'll get
you know, cold. It, like Syracuse is cold Maryland for the most part.
Yeah.
In terms of because Maryland their overall, yikes.
They're Maryland with less seasoning.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, we're like right down to the produces an inordinate number of journalism majors. Yeah.
It's better than last year. Last year they started 6-0 and then dropped 5 of their last 6 and then lost the Pinstripe Bowl.
So yeah, I'm just going
to
call them.
I think let's rip the September tag off Maryland and give it to Syracuse. They've earned it.
That's fair enough. That's pretty accurate. Yeah.
That's Coach Campanile to you.
Hey, this is a team that went 10-3 in 2018. Shit can turn.
Yeah, you young folks might not know about that, but it happened.
It can. Listen, I am maybe morbidly intrigued by this. There's a lot of morbidly intrigued on the rivalry.
You can just say it. It's cool.
I am morbidly intrigued as always by the Commonwealth Cup. I think that Virginia Tech at Virginia, it'll be interesting because there's two teams that really can't, I think, pull away from each other. So this is a crab in a bucket rivalry game. It's entire, like, I do honestly believe anything can happen in this game.
Let's shout out real quick the best FCS playoff game. If you want to check in on one of those, Sac State, North Dakota at 1, as always, go Big Sky Conference.
We've got deeper than hate going on. Georgia Southern at App State,
a decent game.
Yeah. Which I believe that will also determine, for App State, I think they need Coastal to lose, but if they win and Coastal loses, Coastal's playing what will probably be a very pissed off JMU. So App can rip off 5 wins to end the season, which also looked like it wasn't going that well, and can get back to the Sun Belt championship game and face Troy.
Can you hear our rain now?
Very slightly.
Do we have double rain?
Okay. It's died down here. We have something that has never before been said. All right, here's a brand new sentence. The San Jose State UNLV game is important.
Yep.
It is, yeah.
My God, that's Barry Odom's music.
I'm going to look right at it. I am not wearing goggles, so any loss of vision that I suffer is truly my own fault. Opening it up. There it is. Clemson at South Carolina.
Going right to it.
Here I accidentally breathed in right when you said that.
Yeah, so Clemson is, I will tell you this, Clemson is favored by 7. I just want to remind people that this is one of the few rivalry games I know of that has not only ended in a brawl where someone, a future police officer, no less, kicked someone in the head on local television.
It's really underrated on that front.
Yeah, but also one that historically...
On the violence front, I mean.
...is the only one I know of that involved an armed militia pursuing fans.
Agitation from the farmers.
Yes. Yeah. Is that still on the wiki? It's time for the annual
check. It's time.
I will say this. Clemson's early buffoonery.
It is. Agitation from the farmers.
Agitation from the farmers.
Clemson's early buffoonery has really masked that. That defense is fucking mean. That is a really good Clemson defense this year. And it has not. It has gone largely unnoticed, I think, in a lot of ways.
It has, and they will be chasing around the extremely harried. I think if you go, what word would you use to describe Spencer Rattler's tenure at South Carolina?
Kinetic. How about that?
Frenetic.
Frenetic. Yeah.
Harried. Harried. Yeah. Frenetic. There will be a lot of that going
Jingle
on.
Jingle all the way.
Yeah. This is
He's
a wonderful.
Back.
Didn't do jack shit.
Wow.
Yes. There's also the Clemson fans' perspective on this, which is...
Spencer asked Serber if he thinks Davo should be able to leave for another job.
No! God damn it, no!
We're not going to make Serber do this again.
All right. We didn't make him do it in the first place. That's true. Just thought he might want to...
Yes, you did! I said no, I have nothing to say. Rob was like, no, tell us.
Activate the bomb we planted in his neck!
yet another game no one expected to be good. Jacksonville State, New Mexico State. High quality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Both 6-1 in conference. So Gators, with considering Jordan Travis's heartbreaking injury, if you knock the Seminoles out of the playoffs, will you feel guilty about it? You feel like real assholes?
No.
No, not if it were any other year in which we did not have, as we previously discussed, a logjam at the top.
Mm, okay.
there might be more feelings about that, but there's just so far, as Jason brought up last week, as long as winners keep winning, this is you got to take any excuse that you can to clear that field.
Also, this Florida team, which I am not as down on as a lot of people are, I don't think. Arkansas beat them? Like, if Florida State, even despite losing Jordan Travis, if they can't beat this Florida team, they probably don't deserve to be in the playoffs without Jordan Travis.
No, absolutely not.
Like, they're not terrible, but they are extremely beatable.
They're very 5-6.
They've been a lot of fun to watch, but there's every little knock and every little crack has got to count at this point when they're in this many teams crowding at the top.
I don't think Florida State needs to like do the style points thing. Like, I think if they win, they win, and they, you know, deserve to stay in the conversation.
I wouldn't do the style points thing if I had the opportunity here, just because I'd be concerned about additional injuries, honestly.
There's probably that. True, yeah. Considering you're still going to have to play Louisville's defense.
Yeah. It would be extremely humorous if Florida managed to upset them, all in the name of ruining your legitimate claim to national title hopes, in the name of sending this piss poor 6-6 Florida team to the Gasparilla Bowl.
Like,
we're all seeking glory here.
Part of why I don't hesitate is, like, I have no doubt if the roles were reversed, no Florida State fan would be like, gosh, this is a real moral quandary.
This is a real special, I don't know about this. This is a real special Florida team.
What a Florida State answer to the trolley problem is like, hit everyone.
Yeah.
Chomp, chomp.
Put ground effects on the trolley and then hit everyone.
Yeah. Stepping.
Yell homophobic slurs out the window.
Lower trolley. Piss on other tracks.
Bro, I slapped a Nopey sticker on the back of the trolley. Now I get 5 HP.
Throw the trolley operator onto the tracks as well.
Yeah.
Back over him.
This is very much so. If you press that button in the airlock, they will be sent to the, like.
That's what I'm living out in the box. And like, if you press this button, you'll gain a fortune, but a stranger across the other world will die. You promise?
Like in Aliens canon, I promise you, it's a Florida State grad who's like, no, we should set up a colony on the planet with all the alien eggs. That's fucking awesome.
I don't
fucking
know.
Sick.
You know, yeah, a lot of kids will probably die. Yeah, I do know that.
No, Alien Covenant is proof that Florida State grads do end up becoming space commanders, right? That planet looks too good to be true. Let's go. Let's Sounds great. It. Yeah.
Spring break.
Yeah, this is by the way, it's not a rivalry unless you are 100% pressing the button at every time. It's really not. Like, I love, so there occasionally these will come up. There's always these stories of coach appears in the locker room post game to wish other team luck. Right, I want one coach in the world to show up in the other team's locker room and say, hey, that was a hard-fought game. Y'all did great. Okay, hey, guys, everybody listen around. Y'all are fucking ass.
Fuck all of you.
You are absolute ass. We were the better team. I hate you. I hate you.
Fuck
I hate
you.
Everyone in this
Fuck
locker
you.
Room.
You're cool.
Yeah,
Fuck you.
You're cool. Transfer to my university. Fuck yeah, you. Yeah.
I feel like if we let Harsh stick around long enough, we might have had that.
Yeah,
I also think, like, I don't intend this with any shade, but Florida State's backup quarterback is named Tate Rodemaker.
Rodemaker.
He's a 3-star, and Mike Norvell talking about him today was like, you know, he could have left, and he other schools wanted to go other places, but like, he stayed here. And I'm like, Mike Norvell, you're the king of this shit. Like, we don't get to turn around now and be like, yeah, the valor of staying with your original team. Like, shut up.
Usually, in this day and age, when people are stealing right. Albany's best players, it's such right. a shame to go and raid Michigan State.
As Nelson Mandela would have said. Yes.
About me. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
There is, I will tell you, Jordan Travis, do you want to know, like, all-time, like, homie Hall of Fame here? Okay. He is donating, so he sells these t-shirts, right, that with his brand on them, right? And they're like, believe and finish with the 13 in there. And all proceeds from the sales of the t-shirts this week are going to Tate Rodemaker. So,
won't you feel dope. Like assholes, Gators?
No,
if you like this
no, no. I'll be like, what an inspiring story, and then I'll hit the airlock.
What button. An inspiring Peach Bowl story.
Yeah. Can I tell you the funniest thing I have heard come out of a press conference leading up to Rivalry Week?
Please.
Kirby Smart was asked about Georgia Tech, and he said, in part, geographically, they're close.
I like this rivalry because I get to sleep in my own bed. That's maybe not something to say about Kirby
The most Kirby Smart can bring himself to say about the Yellow Jackets, who have at least been a little bit interesting this season, is that they are a short drive from Athens.
Hell, you pull up a map and there they are.
It's one screen on the phone. Look at
you
that.
You know, we give them a lot of credit for existing on our physical plane.
Yeah.
At all times,
the teams in Georgia, they are.
When I say they're a physical football team, I mean that they exist and have matter.
You see a team with height and width and depth. We respect that.
I noticed they wear helmets and cleats.
They might not be good in all three phases, but they got all three dimensions.
You know,
just remember that Kirby got up there after Jeff Collins went through some of his deeply detailed motivational bullshit at a coach's clinic and said, "That's cute. We're the Georgia Bulldogs. If you got good players, we want to see them." Next.
Did he really say that's cute?
Yeah, he said that's cute.
Oh God, they hate each other.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to know what like if one thing defines that whole bunch of like Ray Goff coaches? It's total rage at nerds. Mm. Like they fucking hate nerds.
I will say. I think the funniest thing that could happen if Georgia Tech were to win this game, which I'm not saying they will, is that means Haynes King transferred from Texas A&M and fucking beat Georgia. Like, you should examine that, Texas A&M fans. You should think on that for a little bit.
They do.
Okay.
Night and day.
I mean, Georgia Tech was good enough to beat, you know, the Miami Hurricanes, so true. Anything's possible.
Yeah, who also beat Texas A&M, by the way. Hey, we get to say farewell to the Pac-12 network. Do you know who's playing in this last game?
A real delight.
Notre Dame at Stanford.
Sure.
The last game broadcast on the Pac-12 network is going to be a 40-point blowout.
So it's
an ACC game. Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless every younger Notre Dame fan who has to navigate for Meemaw at Thanksgiving how to get Pac-12 Network.
I thought it was a Pac-6. What is it?
Enjoy putting all kinds of viruses on Grandpa's computer so he can watch Notre Dame beat the shit out of Stanford.
Oh, what do you mean put him on the computer? Grandpa's in there doing basic line searches for sex. Naked woman. No, I'm sorry, it's Grandpa. Naked lady.
Sex gifts.
Yeah, sex gifts.
Classy naked broad.
Yeah, he's sitting there searching like
Gams.
Yeah. Grandpa's in there searching
hot
like
days.
Tawdry neighbor.
Linda Carter butt. Linda Carter.
Well, who doesn't search that?
These are workout videos. It's not what I wanted at all.
Yeah. Although it is, to be honest.
Oh.
Yeah, please don't tell anyone I've got Jane Fonda on there. It'll ruin my reputation with the boys.
Ooh.
Politically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Farmageddon at 8.
Oh, what a
welcome
back.
It's got like 12 of those 800 Big 12 implications. I haven't even looked at any of these. I don't think we'll get that far.
We didn't talk about this when the Big 12 schedule came out, but what fucking miss to not make Farmageddon a protected rivalry. Like, mm-hmm. I hope they figure out how to fix that. That's just the dumbest
shit. Big 12 has like 4 rivalries to protecting.
Yes.
But yeah, mm-hmm. Down here, everyone hates everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. None of you know each other.
Schedule it in a field. Play it in a field. Anywhere.
North Carolina, NC State is probably the most anticipated edition of that in a long time.
Yeah, I hope we get another edition of Dave Doran Rage. That's what I want. Dave Doran Rage was strangely satisfying. I'd like to see more of it.
Dave Doran calling out
Dave Rat
Tyler Hansbro.
Yeah, Dave Doran calling out everyone who's ever
Michael
been
Jordan. It's Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't a starter on your high school team for a reason. Jump.
God
Dave
dang.
Doran's talking right now.
Your tenure with the Hornets was disgusting.
Yeah. General manager? You were a generally bad manager.
Brady Hoke will retire after probably losing again to Fresno State, who he has not beaten as a head coach.
Yeah. UCLA will reach 8-4 and then Chip Kelly will get fired or something. I still don't understand that
who
rumor.
Knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they'll lose and Chip Kelly will stay.
Yeah. Sure.
But either way, Justin Wilcox is going to enter what, like year 9 of whatever. Cal.
That's a ACC coach, Justin Wilcox.
Yeah.
What if moving to the ACC is all Cal needs, and suddenly they're unlocked?
That's where they should have been all along.
They need a little lacrosse air in their veins. Mm-hmm.
The minute they get to play in like inhospitable humid weather, they're like, this was it.
Cal has done that though. Like Cal went on the road and beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, because they hit shitty weather and they were like, I feel so bad. Now I'm angry enough.
Oh, to play yeah. Now I'm like these other blue collar idiots.
Yeah. They have to get farther away from their Nobel Prizes because the nerdery makes them weak.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
Definitely.
Too close to the smart.
Yeah, Vandy plays Tennessee. Holly has feelings about it. But you're not actually worried about that, are you?
I'm not worried about anything. I float as a kite. High above.
I think this will be the year Arizona gets revenge on Arizona State for, what is it, 70-7?
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be now.
Yeah, that's coming.
This better be the year.
Like, again, to illustrate how things change, that was 3 years ago. And I don't think Arizona State is going to have a good time in this game. I don't know if you could name 10 teams playing hotter right now than Arizona is.
Did you guys see that Ray Anderson is going to have the same salary as a professor at Arizona State that he did at the athletic director?
This is like, fuck Donald Trump. This man knows the art of the deal. Like, yeah. God damn.
This man knows the art of the steal.
Be like Ray. Compile a mediocre resume where you slap together a whole bunch of mostly nothing. Get $950,000 a year, which, by the way, if you're making $950,000, come closer. Everybody come closer. You don't want people to say you're making $1 million. That's how you know you're in on a scam, right? You're like, because otherwise it'd be like, we're paying this man $1 million. Yep. Nope. Yep. $950,000.
You know that's why he didn't negotiate a raise for himself, too.
Yeah. Well, my name's Ray. It's right there in the name. Better give me one. It's a raise. Who's Ray's? Ray's. That's right. Mine. And for doing much less work, which, by the way, is like in the description, they're like, for his reduced role.
He had to call his buddies.
For his reduced role.
This is also just mere months after helping contribute to the dissolution of the Pac-12, where Ray Anderson was like, fuck, I'm not going to Morgantown. Absolutely not. That's stupid.
I won't be there.
And now he won't. Now he fucking won't.
But now he can make the same amount of money and he never has to go there. He never has to go anywhere.
That's a neat trick. Like, fuck him, but that's a neat trick.
Yeah, when people point to coaches and coaching salaries, I go, you know, that's a valid point. I would like to point you to this one former athletic director's salary and be like, there is also this. And that is more irksome to me because I know at least coaches will work their way into the ground, right?
Athletic directors don't even have to go outside.
No.
And like, this is also the athletic director who brought the coaching staff in, who is probably going to get some serious NCAA penalties.
Yeah, aren't
penalties
they still waiting on that? That's right.
Yeah. And it's just like, nah, man. You know who's earned this golden parachute? Ray. That's who.
Yeah. By the way, they hired one of his former clients because Ray Anderson was a former agent.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, well, that's, listen, when Herm Edwards is out there, you got to go get Herm Edwards.
When you want to relate to the kids, why don't you get a very loud and confused 70-year-old man?
I feel like this country's operating on a theme lately.
The kids like dope grandpas on TikTok. Let's just hire one of those.
They like Danny DeVito on Always Sunny, so we got the football coach version.
Athletic director Martin Scorsese's granddaughter. She could do a worse job.
Have we missed anything?
The non-last Apple Cup.
The non-last Apple Cup.
16-point spread, but, you know, Wazoo's got a ton to play for here. So
as does Washington.
Washington has more, you know, but yeah. I'm saying Wazoo has reason to compete.
Yeah.
Since when has Wazoo ever needed motivation or reason?
Other than fuck
or anything.
Guys. Well, I mean, so here you have fuck those guys. You have playoff stakes. You have all sorts of realignment feelings, and Wazoo can make a bowl. So there's a lot going on here. Yeah.
So there's a hook, and I'm going to beg you not to swallow it, okay? Because I am, as previously stated, a fish very fond of swallowing any hook. You know, for instance, like this past weekend when Maryland was, you know, Maryland was pulling up to Michigan's bumper.
You were one of the ones texting Alex Kirshner, weren't you?
No. I was admittedly, though, falling for it because I wanted to. There might be the narrative that, you know, Auburn had a weird bad time against New Mexico State.
But wasn't weird, just bad.
Yeah. But this is the Iron Bowl. And it'll be different. It'll be different because in the Iron Bowl, you can throw out the records. And that's a goddamn lie. That is a goddamn lie. Alabama's going to murder them. Absolutely murder them because as this is the quietly.
I don't think that's true. I think Alabama will win. But Alabama doesn't consistently murder. Even when they do win, they don't consistently murder Auburn.
I think they're going to murder. I think it's going to be bad.
You would have said that about 2 years ago when Auburn fucking dragged them to overtime.
Auburn wins.
Had to lose there.
Auburn has surprising Iron Bowl wins.
They
but
do.
Auburn does not have any surprising Iron Bowl wins while employing a coach who was hired strictly for his reputation as a Nick Saban beater.
There is
Saban
that.
Has very personal reason to snuff this motherfucker out.
Yeah. In addition to that, I trust what they've done with Jalen Milroe. Like, I think they've now settled into, I think they're very comfortable with him running that offense. And I don't think Auburn has any answers for what they do, especially because, I don't know, they might have just lost to New Mexico State. I sort of feel like that's indicative sure of, yeah, that's sort of indicative of their capacity right now.
Everything you're saying is entirely logical and just.
You're going to be me now. You're going to be like,
no,
yes,
it's
true. But
it's not even that. It's not even like, I'm like, oh, hold on here. The winds are, no, just like, I don't think consistently Alabama wins this game in a way that reflects the talent and coaching margin between the two teams. That's all. Like, could they win it by 17? Yeah. But I guess I would be more shocked if it was like, oh, this shit is just completely over by the end of the first quarter. Doesn't mean it won't happen.
I think over by half.
I think Auburn often overcompetes in this game, and historically, Ryan, you're very right. And this time around, I think it's...
It may just be too much.
I think it's basically personal, in addition to the team quality disparity.
Now, what I've thrown out is a basic take, but on the full cast, we don't deliver that, folks. We deliver outlandish... take.
Auburn's gonna win the football game.
Never follow up on them.
No,
it's part of our
charm. based strictly in what we know of how these teams behave. You want to talk about historical overperformance? If there's one group that has always done way too much and been way too extra at all times, it's Auburn boosters. Are we going to hear about an attempted coup to fire Hugh Freeze if they get hammered in this Iron Bowl after losing to New Mexico State? I am not saying it will succeed. I would bet against that. However, I bet you would. I bet there will be at least one major Auburn booster who tries it. There will be at least one major Auburn booster who calls it and they're like, I've seen enough.
Wouldn't be the first Auburn booster to attempt a coup.
No, we and we're not even, honestly,
it's not even January yet.
Honestly, Jason, we're not even talking
yeah,
about the
I'm making
case.
All sorts of references
no.
here.
Yeah, that's like three or four different cases over the past decade, right, that don't even reference the older than that Petrino Louder case. So yeah, at least one Auburn booster will try it. He'll at least send it up the tree, right, like on the group text, so to speak. Just be like
just floating a coup.
Yeah, just sends a gif of a guillotine, like, huh?
Who all gonna be there?
Who all gonna be there? All right, hold on. Who is Auburn predicted to play in a bowl game?
A random Big Ten West team, probably.
Okay, so Brett McMurphy has them playing against Oklahoma State. I don't think that will go well for them.
Yikes.
Athlon has them in Nashville playing Wisconsin. Gross.
Jesus.
Jerry Palm says he has them playing Kansas State, who I also don't like how that would go.
Nope.
I want to see that one.
And maybe the darkest of them all, USA Today's projection, Auburn, West Virginia, Liberty Bowl.
Yes.
I don't mind that.
Yes.
That's chaotic
I will
enough.
Put it in my veins.
That will be the bowl game where the loser is the most fired heading into next season.
There will, the dip will run into the Mississippi and cause and damn it from that game.
It'll be bad. It'll be bad.
Where's your sense of adventure?
I love this week. I love this week, and I love this time of year.
Boys, let's ruin Florida State season so we can go to the Gasparilla Bowl. Let's do it.
Hey, you know what? You don't have to accept the bowl invite.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we just did it to say fuck those guys. Yeah.
It's called an invitation. You can say no.
Should do with it, like in the official statement on like a blue background that you post on all of your social media things would just be, you know, from Coach Billy Napier. Nah.
Catching up on Netflix. Sorry.
Yeah. Too busy recruiting so that we can go 7-5 next year.
Or do like a we hereby assign JMU our bid. Do that. And all of America loves you.
Proxy.
Yeah.
Spartacus it.
All right. Whoever plays Auburn in a bowl game, give your bid to JMU, please.
Yeah.